The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco. Today's Inspiring Women is a mentoring show designed to give you the tools and strategies to excel professionally. Each week, we connect you with extraordinary women, exploring their careers and giving you advice and success tips and ideas to help you spark your professional and life growth. Today's show is sponsored by the UPS Store. From printing and mailbox solutions to packaging and shipping, the UPS Store is your helpful neighborhood small business resource center. We have got two dynamic women for you today. So hang on to your hats for today. Our first guest started out as a very shy social worker, and she climbed up the corporate ladder. She broke out of her comfort zones and excelled into the CEO positions of a major Fortune 500 company. Today, she is on the Rolodex of actress Jenna Davis. She went to Larry King's Christmas party. People like Barbara Corcoran will pick up her phone call. I mean, she rubs elbows with the elite of the elite in all types of industries. And she's going to tell us what she did to step out of her comfort zone to excel. And our second guest is what I call the reluctant entrepreneur, another woman who had climbed to the vice president level for Fortune 500 in the publishing world, and due to the health of her son, had to quit. And in order to have money in the house, she began her own entrepreneurial venture, not ever wanting to be an entrepreneur, and today is exceeding and excelling in the world of publishing as an entrepreneur. So I'll be anxious to introduce you to her as well. But let's get started here. I can't wait to introduce you to our first guest. Our first guest is Judy Robinette, and she is a business thought leader. She is known as a woman with the titanium digital Rolodex. She has been profiled in Forbes and Huffington Post and Bloomberg Business Week as a sterling example of the new breed of super connectors who use their experience and networks to accelerate growth and enhance and profitability. She has more than 30 years of experience as an entrepreneur and a corporate leader. Judy has served as the CEO of both public and private companies in the management position of Fortune 500 companies, and she has been on the advisory boards of a number of venture capital firms. She is the managing director. She was the managing director of Golden Seed's Angel Network, which is the third most active angel investment group and one of the largest in the United States. She was a member of the Department of Commerce team that defined performance criteria for the Malcolm Baldrige National Quality Award for Performance Excellence in Healthcare, of which she has received an award from President Bill Clinton. Judy, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Well, thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, you have had such an incredible journey, you know, in your life. I can't believe it. I mean, you started out as a shy social worker and climbed to the role of CEO. I mean, I can't. It's just hard to fathom how you're able to do all that. What was a pivotal breaking point for you that helped you climb to that position?
You know, when I worked for Fortune 200 companies, I remember looking around and I saw all these guys, and they weren't smarter than me, and they weren't working as hard as I was. They would typically take Friday afternoon off playing golf. And I wasn't getting ahead, and they were. And I thought to myself, what is wrong with this picture? And I was always drawn to leadership. I loved solving problems and making things happen. And I watched people above me that were really doing dumb stuff. And that's when I made a decision that I was going to do something else.
Wow. So what did you do that, what did you specifically do that helped change what you were doing on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I had a friend that pointed out to me that working hard, keeping my head down, and expecting I would be noticed was a fairy tale. And, you know, since then, I've found research that actually shows if you were raised in lower to middle class, that's what you're taught. You're taught not to ask people for anything else. Well, what I started doing was telling people, I want a management position. And that was really a breakthrough for me, of telling people that I was going to be a leader instead of expecting people to just watch. And I've got a great little story. One of my friends told me that when she was worried about being losing her job, her boss sat her down and she said, now look, I was in a room with 14 other managers deciding who we're going to keep and who we're going to promote. Now out of those 15, how many of those do you know? And the lady said, well, I know 15 of them. And she said, well, how many really know you? And she said, maybe 5. And she said, now, how many of them really know the value you've added to this company? And the lady said, it's just one, you. And that was a huge mistake for her.
Hmm. Wow. So the real lesson there is to make sure that others know what the value is that you're bringing to the table.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you don't leave it to chance. You know, often on the organizational charts, that's not where the true power is. And so you have to network within your own company.
Interesting. You know, so let's say I'm a manager at a company and I don't have a opportunity to network with the VP or the CEO of the company. What can I do to be put into their eyes so they can know what value I bring?
Well, I'll tell you, so this is exactly where I was, only on top of all of that, I was afraid, had to deal with fear, and I didn't have a lot of self-confidence when I started, I mean, just to be honest. And what I decided to do was to get out of my comfort zone, and the first thing I did was I read a book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, and it points out, you know, as long as you're alive, you're going to be afraid, and if you don't deal with fear, it just gets worse. And the second thing that I did was I started volunteering for key committees that were within the company, and in particular ones that had oversight by the CXO group. And I worked hard and I made sure that I was noticed. The next thing I did was I found a mentor that reported to the CEO, and it really helped me get better reality because all of us have blind spots. And I'll just share another story. When I was in graduate school, I was so worried that I was going to flunk. I would volunteer, I would lead all the committees, and I just made sure we were going to get A's. And the professor called me in the office, and he said, Judy, the guys don't want you to be on their team anymore. And I said, what? And he said, they say you're too aggressive. And I literally got up, went over to his desk, and I took my fist and I whacked it on the table and I said, I am not aggressive. Who said I'm aggressive? And he kindly sat me down and said, you know, sometimes you can be like a bull in a china closet. And that really taught me the value of getting feedback from mentors and other people. So getting better reality for the blind spots. And then the other thing that I did is I took every management leadership training in-house that I could so that I often say, everything you do says who you are. So I literally was signaling to all the managers that I was ready to lead.
Interesting. You know, one of the questions that happens a lot is that women tend to get mentored and men tend to get sponsored.
Yes.
So were you mentored or were you sponsored?
Both. So, I was mentored and then I was, I wasn't lucky enough. I say lucky enough, but I created the luck by joining a couple of committees. And then I just really worked my guts out. And then a vice president of the company actually came to me and said, I am so impressed. How did you do that? How did you accomplish that? And I told him, and at that point, he became a sponsor of me. And I kept him looped in on what I was doing, on, you know, asking him what I should do. You know, two of the secrets that I have in my book are you tell people what you're doing. You've got to educate people, and there's two golden questions. Number one, you ask people, what other ideas do you have for me? And number two, who else do you know I should talk to? And then I made sure that, you know, this vice president, I went to lunch with him. So people start seeing you with the CXO level people. And then you're separating yourself from the 95% of people that are sitting, working hard at their desk, waiting.
Hmm. Very interesting. I love your two questions. The one was, what other ideas do you have for me? And the other one is, who else should I be talking to?
Yeah, because a lot of people can't connect the dots. But if you tell them, you know, this is my goal, you know, I'm trying to accomplish this, what other ideas do you have for me? Then it gives you the best information that's in context, and then mm-hmm. the best people to talk to. Because on average, everybody knows 632 people. But you don't want to know all 632 people. You just want to know who the top two or three are that can help you with your goal.
You know, one of the questions that I have all the time is, okay, so let's say you've climbed the corporate ladder, now you've made manager, you've made director, maybe even you made it to the VP level. How do you get to that next step of CEO? I mean, because only 4.2% of women actually make it to the CEO suite, you know, how did you make that next leap?
Well, you know, what I did was I made sure that I put myself in the top 5% of employees. And research shows, and this is done by Dr. Joe Folkman, I could get the research to anyone that wants it, that the number one thing that put people head and shoulders above everybody else is they set and achieved stretch goals. Number two was they had very high-level emotional IQ. And this is especially true of communication skills. So you need to start thinking about establishing your own brand. You know, I started just initially writing just a little tiny column in the company newspaper that I thought would, you know, add value, something on strategy or what the company's goals were. I also started speaking outside the company. So I started, you know, not only establishing my brand, but being someone who was a true advocate on behalf of the company. And, you know, most importantly, though, outside of that research, I would tell you that it would be important to understand the big picture of the company. How is the company making money? Can you really read and understand the financials? You know, at the time when I started in management, I couldn't. I had no degree in business. I had a degree in psychology because I was a social worker. Mm-hmm. And I actually volunteered to join United Way, and I volunteered to be on the budget committee, and I learned how to run a $4 million budget. And if I'd not done that, I would have not had the skill that I needed. And then the final one is really get P&L experience, profit and loss. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, when I first started out, I was kind of in human resources, and that's a hard shift to make. So you have to, at some point, really understand the big picture of the company, where they're going, how they make money, and how you can help solving problems and being a visionary.
You know, I thought one thing that you pointed out was really good is that while you might not have gotten that experience in the company you're working with, you looked outside the company into a volunteer group. In this case, it was United Way. So you could gain that experience that you needed that would then in turn help you internally.
Absolutely. And I've done that several times with different things. I volunteered to be on two governors' finance committees. I mean, political, you think about joining powerful organizations. I ended up meeting three billionaires, which was relevant to my goal of getting a couple of companies funded. But you always think about quality relationships plus specific strategy to your outcome, what it is. And that can be internally in a company, and that can be externally, and it's much more powerful. You know, I wrote a paper that was, you know, the company
Judy,
I worked
for. Judy,
we're
going to take a quick, my producer's okay. Telling me need to take a quick break here.
Okay, fine.
So I want to come back to this. So we need to take a quick break. We can come back. I want to talk a little bit more about what you did and then talk about your book as well. Stay tuned. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and we have got Judy Robinette on the line. And Judy, you know, you wrote a book called How to Be a Power Connector, the 5 plus 50 plus 100 rule for turning your business network into profits, which you, you know, you alluded to in the beginning part of the show about your connections. First of all, what is this 5 plus 50 plus 100 rule? What is that?
Well, it's based on research that was done by Dunford. It's called Dunford's Law, that groups fall apart at 150. And so you can't really manage. I mean, I meet people that have, you know, gazillion Facebook and LinkedIn. Those people are never going to have your back and have your future. Other research shows that we all have a close circle of our friends and family, which is five to 15. That's love and support capital. The 50 I call the vital 50 are those people who have the gravitas, the power to help you, and they will help you make things happen. And then the rest are kind of the opt-in group. Charlie Munger once said out of 100 people he met, there were 5 he couldn't live without, 20 he never cared to see again as long as he lived, and the others were opt-in. So this is a simple system that anyone can adopt.
So what are some of the biggest mistakes that people make when it comes to networking?
You know, number one is not realizing you already have a network and not working it. So your influence is limited to a friend of a friend of a friend. And every day I meet people. For instance, I was introduced to Mike Muni of Axe Software, and he said, what I would give to get an article in Success Magazine. The woman who introduced us, best friend, is the owner of Success Magazine. So number one, work the network you have. Number two, not talking to strangers. Research shows we only talk to strangers 2 to 3% of the time, and that's where the gold is. The third one is being in the wrong room. You know, if people are not smarter than you in that room, or they can't help you with your goals or have resources you need, you're in the wrong room. And, you know, I'll ask people, you know, does this event, the relationship, the opportunity, are they going to help you with their goal? If they're not, you're in the wrong room. And then finally, make sure you have a values match. I have people in my network, I look for, do they have a good head, a good heart, and a good gut? And I used to say, you know, is this person an Oprah or a Martha Stewart? They're both billionaires. They're really good at what they do. But if I had to pick one, it would be Oprah, because that's where my values are.
Oh, very interesting. You know, one of the things that you talk about in your book is this whole ecosystems piece. Could you explain that a little bit and why is that important?
Yeah, so, you know, there's always people group together in groups, and it doesn't matter, and it's wider than industries. And so, for instance, you know, people will often try to get their company funded. And I find, again, they're in the wrong room, and it's because they don't understand the funding ecosystem. So the first part is friends and family. They invest annually $30 to $60 billion. That number will go up to $300 billion with crowdfunding. But angels, the angels are another piece of that ecosystem. They fund 90% of the high-potential startups, whereas VCs, the very smallest. But most people are in the wrong room. They're trying to get VCs to fund them, and they keep hearing no and thinking they're a failure, but they're in the wrong room because they don't understand the funding ecosystem, how it works. And besides that, there's now family offices, wealthy families that are investing in startups, and also foundations that invest in startups. So if you don't understand that ecosystem and who the players are in it, then you fail in trying to reach your goal.
You know, you talk about the in your book, you talk about the importance of knowing your value, and that we need to. So how do we, and that we need to tell others about our value. So how strategically do you go about doing that without bragging about yourself?
You know, when I worked at Westinghouse, they had a sign up and it said, "Let your work speak for you." Mm-hmm. And another one I like is, "Be so good that they can't ignore you." You always start relationships with stuff that is personal. I generally hate elevator speeches. You can meet gazillions of lawyers or VC or angel investors. You always start with stuff that's personal. And you can easily work in something like you have a book published or you sat on this committee that will let them know the value that you can bring, either through connections that you have, information that you have. I often send out curated information. Quartz.com is one that I look for in trends, and I send that out to people. And very quickly, those little things will put you in the top of people, the top 5%.
Okay, so let's say you're at a party, you know. Let's say you really don't know anybody there. So how do you go about starting up a conversation and get out your value? How do you do that?
Well, you know, I did this the other night at Larry King's Christmas party, which I got invited to, and I didn't know a single person there other than the person that invited me who was late, so I couldn't talk to him, and I just sat down and started talking to a person. I asked about Larry's wife, Sean King, and who was there that I could talk to, and that lady introduced me to her brother, Paul. I asked Paul, you know, a little bit about what he did, how Larry met Sean, and he told me he was involved in a startup company, and I instantly said, "What do you need? How could I help you?" So that's one of the other questions that I always tell people. Always ask, how can I help you? And then you can engage immediately with them, and you can show them your value by taking action. You know, you try to instantly add value. And after you've done it a few times, it turns out it's very easy.
Interesting. You know, one of the things that I liked in your book, you talked about your connections and that you need to really follow up on a really methodical basis, depending on if they're 5 or 50 or you're 100. So do you, for like with your people in your top 100, how often do you really connect with them?
You know, often the top 100, maybe once a month. And for instance, I'll get something from McKinsey, a report, and it turns out 20 out of those 100 would love that report because it's the best thing out about trends for 2015. Or who's doing the major investing, I can send out to the 20 people in my network who have high-end VC experience.
Hmm. So you do send something out. So
I do send something out, and then I also make connections with people. I make it a point every week of introducing a couple of people. And if you just start doing that as a habit, you become the go-to person, and you end up kind of in the flow of deals and money and power and influence.
Interesting. Okay, so let's say you have someone that you knew in the past and you haven't connected with them for, let's say, a couple of years. What's a good strategy to reconnect with them?
I either call them on the phone and say I'm sorry, or I send them an email and say I'm sorry that they were an important person, that I lost touch. And this is easy. We all make this mistake. And people are always open to reconnecting. So an apology works great.
Hmm. So let's say it was a former boss at a different company, and now would you do it the same way? You would still call them up or send them an email, say,
yes, I would call
I'm
up,
back
send
in town
an email
and like to reconnect
and say,
with you?
I've really missed that I, you know, I apologize for not staying in contact. You were an important person to me. You know, I'd like to update you a little bit about where I am, you know, ask them about their wife, their pets, stuff that matters to them. You know, be real, be you, and they'll get back to you every time. If they don't, they're not a person you want to be associated with.
Ah, all right. Very, very good. You know, one of the quotes that you have in your book, and it kind of goes back to a question or two previous that we just talked about, but I just love this one quote that you have in your book, if I may. You know, it was about how do you tell about your skills to somebody else? And I think as women, a lot of times we have a problem with telling others. And in your book, you say if you are holding back some of your skills and abilities or hiding your strengths because you don't recognize how valuable they are, or you have self-esteem issues, or you don't want to brag about yourself, stop. A key to power connecting is to recognize the value you have to give to others. You need to be willing to bring your skills, knowledge, and strengths out into the open and let others know what you have to offer. Otherwise, you'll be cheating them and yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, I really focus on being generous. We all have problems, and we all have solutions. You know, I know several billionaires. They all have problems. Everybody's got problems. And that's how you can add value. And if the very least you can do is be supportive and kind, you think about what a gift it is to have somebody truly listen to you, let alone find something that would be valuable in an article and send it to you. I mean, that's how you separate yourself out. You be generous, you be real, you be kind. Everybody's got gifts. You know, I often have people, and I'll challenge all of our listeners, go find 3 to 5 of your best friends and ask them what the 3 very best things are about you. Most people are stunned at some of those things they didn't see.
Yeah, I just love this book. I mean, let's talk about your book. The book is called How to Be a Power Connector, the 5+50+100 rule for turning your business network into profits. How do people get hold of this book?
You know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble has them as well.
So they can find it anywhere is what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
Wow. And what's interesting is this book has been endorsed by Mark Burnett of the Shark Tank and the Apprentice and the Survivor producer, right?
Yes, yes. I adore Mark, and I didn't know him. He was a stranger. There was a perfect way that I figured out how to add value. I could help him, and he offered to help me.
I just think that's marvelous. Well, Judy, I can't believe our time is up. And I'd like to thank you for being on today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And again, that book was called How to Be a Power Connector, the 5+50+100 rule for turning your business network into profits. Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Deanne DeMarco with today's Inspiring Women.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest-growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for Today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and we have another dynamite guest for you today. She calls herself the Reluctant Entrepreneur. Lori Ames is the founder of PR Freelancer, an agency and specializes in national and international publicity and public relations for authors and small businesses. And Lori has worked for in the book publishing and public relations industries for over 30 years. Lori began her publicity career at a boutique agency in Manhattan, and at that agency. There was a problem when her son became ill. And later, towards that year, she had to leave her company. She had already climbed to the VP position, and she reluctantly started her own agency so she can handle both the stress and the requirements that her son needed and being able to bring in money too. So she started out with four employees and a small roster of clients, and from there has exceeded. So, Lori, welcome to Today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you so much, Deanne. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, so why don't you just tell us a little bit about your story and how you got started into being an entrepreneur?
I had worked at the same public relations agency in Manhattan for 20 years, specializing in book publicity. I was leaving on vacation in October 2010, and had actually boarded the airplane to fly on vacation. My son hadn't felt well. He was going to meet me the next day. And before I landed, he was being rushed to the hospital, and it turned out he had an inoperable malignant brain tumor. Mm. So I flew back on the next flight and lived in the hospital with him for the next 3 weeks. And you know, he needed a lot of care. He needed a lot of attention. We didn't know what the prognosis really was going to bring. So I had to leave my job of 20 years in order to be a full-time caretaker. In the course of that, between his second and third surgeries, we were talking in his room, and he's like, "Well, Mom, you have to go to work. What are we going to do if you don't go to work? You always go to work." And then he wanted to know if I was staying with him because he was going to die. Mm-hmm. So I explained that I was staying with him because he was really, really sick. We didn't use the cancer word at that time because I didn't want to scare him. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Well, if you're not going to go to work, then you need to start your own business." And I thought about it, and I said, well, yes, I can do that. I've been doing the same thing for a long time. So from his ICU unit, I made sure that I connected with as many people as I could on LinkedIn on my iPad. It was one of the few things I was allowed to use there. And then I sent out a mass email to everybody I had connected with. I built my contacts up to over 500, just saying, hey, this is what's going on. You're not going to find me at my old firm. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I am going to be starting my own business as soon as Rob's out of the hospital. Let me know if I can help you. And the response was almost immediate. Let us know how he's doing and let us know when you're set up. So he was diagnosed October 21st, 2010, and I signed my first client December 1st, 2010.
Wow. So right away.
Right away. I have always tried to be nice to people. I've always tried to maintain a very solid reputation, and that worked very, very well for me in starting my own business. Mm. People wanted to... They wanted to work with me. They want to work with me. It's so exciting.
So what were some of the steps that you took in actually starting? I mean, some of us have dreams of starting our own business, but we really don't know the steps that it takes to start our own business. So what were some of those steps that you took to start your own business?
One of the first things I did was decide that I wanted to call my company and reserve that URL. Because I thought that would be the most important thing. So I was thinking about all the different choices I could have, and since I was going to be doing book publicity, and every small agency is really considered a freelance agency, I thought, well, if somebody's doing a Google search, they could be looking for a freelancer or a PR freelancer. So I reserved theprfreelancer.com. I contacted my attorney who says, oh, no, you probably don't need to be incorporated. And I didn't like that answer, and he's no longer my attorney. And then I contacted my accountant, and my accountant said, well, of course, you should be an S corporation. Here's what we need to do. And he did everything for me. He knew what was going on with Robert. He knew I was doing all this from the hospital. And once we were home, going back and forth to the hospital and for treatments and such. And he took care of everything. I had to give three choices for names of my company so that they could put all three through in case one was already taken. And the PR Freelancer Inc. was born. And they brought me all my papers and my corporate papers and took care of all the state and federal paperwork needed to become incorporated. It's not terribly expensive. It's less than $500. Mm-hmm. And it protects you as an individual by having a corporation. So if something does go wrong, the corporation's responsible, not necessarily you personally.
All right. So what else did you have to do to really get your business going?
I had to let people know I was in business. So that involved a lot of networking, a lot of emails, because, you know, for those first few months, it's not like I was sitting in an office or even sitting at home. I was in cars. I was at the cancer center, I was in the hospital, I was everywhere I could possibly be. So most of it was via email. The first thing I did once the company was formed was email all those people on LinkedIn again to let them know, yes, mm-hmm. I was up and running, I was all set. I knew that I was going to need to have access to all the databases and such that I had when I was in the city, so I subscribed to all the things that I had when I was at the firm in the city. I made a list of, and I made sure I had all those when I was on my own, such as a subscription to Cision, which is a big media database, a subscription to Profnet, which gives you media inquiries or media queries where people are looking for specific experts. And I surrounded myself with all the tools that I knew I was going to need to be successful. The secondary things were things like having a logo designed, having some stationery made, having business cards made. You don't think that you need letterhead or press release paper because so much is done electronically now, but it's good to have just in case.
Hmm. So how about like the day-to-day operations piece? How did you know how to run that and how much money you're going to need to really get your business going and all of those kinds of things?
When I first started, Well, when I had been at the same agency for 20 years. The owner at that time was spending less and less time at the company. So what I was was doing the last 3 or 4 years I was there was basically helping her run the business. I was negotiating with clients. I was doing the invoicing. I was overseeing all the publicity campaigns. So I knew what had to be done. It was just a matter of doing it all on my own. So when I started, I worked from home. So I just knew the steps that I needed to take. If you're taking on a book publicity project, first you have to read it, then you have to write about it, then you have to do your outreach, then you have to do your scheduling, you need to be able to send the books out. You have to have a whole setup, whether you're working from home, whether you're working from a small office, or you're working from a big company. So I just mimicked all the steps I had learned from that 20-year tenure at the other firm.
So it really helped having all that experience then.
The experience was everything. And I started a business doing what I had been doing that whole time. So I wasn't creating something new. I wasn't going from a consultant industry to, you know, selling a product. I was just doing what I know. And I think by doing what you know, you have the best chance for success.
You know, you face some really unique challenges with your son and with starting your business. I mean, how did you go about overcoming those challenges?
Well, I had a very good support network of people who said, of course you can do this, you can do this. Have a shot of vodka every night, takes the stress off. And I just always looked forward. I never thought I wasn't going to succeed, and I never thought he wasn't going to get better. I woke up every day and just said, okay, today's the new normal. Let's see what the day brings, and just moved ahead. I didn't dwell on the past. I didn't dwell on what was happening. I made sure he was healthy. There were times I was in the middle of doing things, and he would get ill, and we'd be back in the emergency room or back in the hospital. And I took my cell phone and my iPad and my laptop with me whenever we went to a doctor because I never knew where I was going to end up. And I always had people on tap to bring me clothes and a toothbrush and a hairbrush if he did end up back in the hospital. But I carried all the electronics with me. And one of the times when he was readmitted to the pediatric intensive care unit, parents are encouraged to stay. And the second time we were admitted, when they were wheeling him in, they were also wheeling in a desk for me. And it might sound callous that I wasn't devoting 24/7 every second to him in the hospital, but I was there more to create a semblance of normalcy. The semblance of normalcy when something that tragic is going on really makes it easier to get through.
So you just had a an office ready to go.
I just took it with me. That's the you know, the iPads, the iPhones, everything that they have now makes it very easy to work from anywhere. And then once he was done with all his therapies and all his treatments and was doing much better, I looked for office space because I felt that I would be more productive if I wasn't in the house. I also have 5 cats and a dog, and the cats like to send emails, and the dog likes to bark whenever I'm on the phone. So
isn't that the truth?
we looked for an office space, and I found, I was on Craigslist. My husband suggested looking on Craigslist, and I saw a listing for a small office space, 500 square feet, that was on the same block where my condo is. But one side is all residential, the other side is small businesses, but they didn't put a street address. So I printed out the picture of the windows of the office and sent my husband walking up and down the road so he could figure out which building it was.
How cool. You know, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the advice that you would have for other women who want to be entrepreneurs. We need to take a quick break. This is Deanne DeMarco, today's Inspiring Women. We'll be right back.
I'm I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com for more information.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women. Right now we are speaking with Lori Ames, the reluctant entrepreneur. And, you know, Lori, in starting your entrepreneurial business, you know, what advice would you have for other women who would like to be an entrepreneur?
I think you have to make a decision about what you want to do. Make sure that you have experience doing it, or at least have really good advisors who are going to help you. And you have to stick to your guns and not let people tell you that you can't do it, you're not going to succeed, or you're crazy. You need to be organized. You need to have a plan. I did not have a written business plan, but a written business plan is probably a good idea, so you know exactly what you're getting into. You have to know or decide how much money that you're going to put into this business. You need to decide how much time you can devote to it. Some people think running your own business means all of a sudden you have extra time because you don't report to a boss and you don't have to go to some company and you know, time clock in. But being an entrepreneur is a 24/7 commitment, especially the first 5 years. You are building your reputation, you're learning, you are seeking advice from people. And it's exhausting, but it is so rewarding.
Mm-hmm. So where do you think women should look for mentors or advisors?
There are tons of women's networking groups. And I think that for some people, those are really good to speak to other women in the same situation who are trying to start businesses or who already are successful entrepreneurs and can offer advice. There are many government organizations and small business associations where you can get money, advice, booklets, books. There's tons of books out there on women in business and women in entrepreneurship. And I also don't think women should only look towards other women for advice. I think that pick a successful guy and pick his brain. Learn everything you can. Don't think just because you're female that you have to do something differently than a man does it.
Mm-hmm. That's some really good advice.
And you know, as far as like a mentor, mm-hmm. somebody in the industry that you want to be involved in, and send them a note, send them an email, connect with them on LinkedIn, pick up the phone and give them a call. People are really more willing to give advice and make suggestions than most people think.
So don't be a shy. Be assertive and just.
If you're going to be shy, get a job working for somebody else.
That's probably true. That's probably true. So what, you know, you're in the PR business. So what advice or suggestions would you have for a business person who's trying to promote either themselves or their company?
Well, for small businesses, I always suggest a few things. Join your local chamber of commerce, network with the other small businesses, and sponsor something. Do something that lets people know that you're there. If you're opening, let's say you're opening a new delicatessen in town. All right, so for a grand opening, give away coffee and balloons and cake. And then you get to announce that in all the small local papers, all the weekly papers that people get and the penny savers and such, as a grand opening event. As long as you're giving something away for nothing, it gets listed as a free event. So if you're giving away coffee, balloons, and cake as a grand opening celebration, and you have five local, small, regional papers in town, they'll all run it as a free event. You don't have to create news each and every time to get coverage. Make sure, depending on what your business is, that you know who covers your industry or your business in your local paper and on your local TV stations, and drop them a note and let them know, hey, if you're doing a story on XYZ, I have something to say. Please keep me in mind.
Huh. So actually contact those editors or writers?
The editors, reporters, and producers who might be appropriate. And don't always be selling anything. Don't always be selling an idea. It can just be if you're doing a story on, okay, so for me, if you're doing a story on publicity or local authors or how authors, you know, can get themselves known outside their immediate family, give me a call. I can give some advice.
Oh.
And then you get added to that. In the old days, it would be called a Rolodex, but you get added to their expert file. And then when a reporter's looking for somebody to speak on a particular topic, your name will be there the next time they're doing a story that relates to what you're doing.
Hmm.
And sometimes, you know, sponsoring something local, if there's a church or a synagogue or a scouts organization and they have different events going on, or the Chamber of Commerce or has an arts council, for a couple of $100, you can sponsor an art event at the local bank. Let's say here, the Babylon Village Chamber of Commerce or the Babylon Arts Council is always looking for local businesses to sponsor things. It's not very expensive. You send them a couple of $100, and then your name appears in the program or in the next newsletter, and it spreads your name around.
That's some really good ideas. Really good ideas. So how would a person promote themselves? I mean, if you're, let's say you are an author or you're a speaker or you have your own, I don't know, I'm just trying to think what those other solopreneurs would be. I mean, you're just your own company and you're an employee of one or two.
There are authors, there are graphic designers, there are all different types of solopreneur types of businesses and such. And it's really, I'm stammering here, I don't mean to. The same way you would come up with a mission for your company or corporate mission, mm-hmm. you need to come up with the same kind of statement or mission statement for yourself, what you stand for, what you believe in, and what you bring to the table. And then you use that the same way. And that works in a bigger company also. Let's say that you're one of 50 employees and you want to promote yourself to perhaps, you know, get a better position or to move up, you have to let people know what you're doing. You can't be shy.
Mm-hmm. Our first guest said the same thing, is you have to definitely let other people know the value that you bring to the table.
You know, I caught the end of that interview, and she said something really interesting about asking people who know you best what they think your strengths are. And I'm always very surprised to hear that people think that I'm way more successful than I see myself as being, or that I'm way smarter, or I know something that they didn't know. So for me, things that I take for granted, other people are fascinated by.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you do a lot of pro bono work.
One of the things that I decided to do when I started my business was to give back. And because Robert is a young adult brain tumor survivor, I wanted to give back to the cancer and brain tumor communities. So we do pro bono work for two nonprofits. We do pro bono work for the Children's Brain Tumor Foundation, which is a national organization that helps children and young adults and their families where there's been a brain tumor diagnosis. And the other organization is the Michael Magro Foundation, which is a local foundation here on Long Island that helps families where a child's been diagnosed with cancer. So for those organizations, we set up radio and TV and print interviews for the principals of the organizations. We help organize some of their fundraising activities, and we do what we can to raise awareness.
Yeah, and that would be a good foundation for people to, you know, to contribute to as well. And that was the Children's
It's called
Brain
the Children's
Tumor.
Children's Brain Tumor Foundation, and their website is CBTF, for the Children's Brain Tumor Foundation, .org.
That's easy enough. CBTF, for Children's Brain Tumor Foundation, .org.
Yes.
Well, you know, I can't believe our time has just flown by. I'd like to thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women and sharing your advice and your insights in being a reluctant entrepreneur.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Dan. I really appreciate it.
You know, each week I try to bring our listening audience some top-level and extraordinary women to explore their careers and give success tips and ideas. And each week I end with a quote and an action for the week. And today I would like to end with a quote actually from Mark Burnett. And he says, "I will guarantee you that the day you step outside your comfort zone by making success your goal is the day you discover that adversity, risk, and daring will make life sweeter than you have imagined." And your action for this week is to do something that is outside your comfort zone and see how you will excel. Until next week, this is Deanne DeMarco, today's Inspiring Women. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.